And, you know, just it's on page 77 in your workbook, if you happen to have that with you. And we'll look at that in a minute. It just occurred to me once again what great timing and an all-knowing God we have. He has such great timing, you know, and I think sometimes along with that can, he even displays a little bit at least of a sense of humor. And if you think about that, last week, our class was on raising children in a godly manner, just as millions of people in our country got sent home to do what? To be with their children. And, you know, just a perfect timing, as God's timing always is, on hopefully giving some aspect on how to raise godly children. And since we're home doing that, and just so good. And then not only spending quality time with them, all of a sudden we're finding quantity time with them. But praise God if we make that worthwhile and help to raise godly children. It's just so important today. And then this week, as we're all called to be practicing social distancing, and we're certainly doing that here, and, you know, called to stay home and self-quarantine you know, just to be with that, and to have the title of our message be Pursuing a Pure and Godly Life and Yielding Myself to be Separated from the World. My goodness. And so I thought of this picture that we're all very familiar with this week. On the left there is Purell, you know, being pure. We're purifying our hands and our furniture and everything we touch, and we're in quarantine, and we're being separated from one another and from the world and everything in it. So all of a sudden, we are all pursuing a pure and separated life, amen, whether we wanted to or not. And this lesson will help us, I pray, put the godly in that separation and in that purity. Again, it's if you have your book, I just encourage you to look at that title again, Pursuing a Pure and Godly Life. Circle that godly, underline it, highlight it. We want to be pure and separated, yes, but we want to do it in a godly manner. Again, what perfect timing God has given us to bring this lesson to us this morning. And so I yield myself to be separated from the world. So if you have your workbook or your Bible, our text is out of Romans 12, verse 2, and then also 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. So if you'd like to turn there, and then we'll read those. And as usual, if you're home and you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, we invite you to do so. If not, stand up inside. And let's look at our text this morning. First of all, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And just stop there. How, you know, we're so aware of touching the unclean thing right now. And again, very good practice, one I think we'll continue to practice. But let's put the godly in it this morning. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Holy, 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 our Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your infinite and endless knowledge, Lord, that you knew what was going to be going on this week, and you ordained this lesson to be taught this morning. And even I know Pastor Jamie later has a perfect message on that as well. Lord, you are speaking to us through your word and the preaching of your word this morning. Help us to realize just exactly what your command to us means to be separated from the world in a godly manner. Lord, help us to determine to remain pure, not only to purify our things and the stuff we touch, but our souls and our minds to be pure. Lord, help us to think only on things which are honoring to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to understand that the enemy is real and uses circumstances and thoughts and all kinds of things that we must guard ourselves against. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us, Lord, to understand that Satan likes to use open doors into our mind to influence us and change our behavior. Help us, Lord, be strong and to stand against that and encouraging one another to do so. I pray this lesson would do help us to do that. Help me to get out of the way, Lord Jesus, and that your word would speak through to your people. We ask it and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So again, pursuing a pure and godly life and yielding myself to be separated from the world. Your overview there in your book, if you'd like to follow along, says traveling through this life, men or and women, I would add, face a constant pull from the world with all of its glitter and glamour. And our flesh finds all that surrounds us so appealing. While this is nothing new, we have always faced worldly attractions. It has never been as overwhelming as in this time. With today's technology, we find every imaginable toy and temptation right at our fingertips, calling us to be drawn toward the world. We have an enemy, our adversary, who will continually attempt to draw us away into the world. This enemy is Satan. We are warned of him, and we are to stand against him bearing God's armor. Praise God. Again, it's just so appropriate as we're home and have probably more time on our hands than we might be used to, even though we might be busy. Satan wants to use this stuff, and we'll be looking at that this morning, and just so appropriate. We'll cover two commitments in this lesson that are very closely related. Pursuing purity in my life and separating myself from the world. We want to pursue purity and separate ourselves. Traveling through this life, again, we face a constant pull from the world with all of its glitter and glamour, and our flesh finds all that surrounds us so appealing. Through the corridors of time, we have faced worldly attractions, but never before as in this time. It does just seem getting worse and worse, doesn't it? We just constantly bombarded with attractions and things we should be interested in and follow after and to do. With today's technology, we find every imaginable toy and temptation right at our fingertips, calling us to be drawn towards the world. We live in a humanistic, materialistic, and hedonistic society. Now, I had an idea of maybe introducing that new word to you, hedonistic. I looked it up to make sure I had an idea, but and it's perfect in its definition. Hedonistic means the pursuit of pleasure. Often it's wild pursuit of pleasure. And that, you know, that seems to be what we're all about nowadays. It tells us to indulge, enjoy, and fulfill those fleshly appetites, and to live for personal pleasure. Make no mistake about it, Satan is using this pandemic, even today, to cause fear, dissension, and conflict in our lives. Satan uses that, and we got to guard against it. James speaks of this conflict there in your book, James 4:1-3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, we like to use that first part of that of we don't get because we don't ask, but we also might not get because we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. We ask for some pleasure or something to be done for us. That's not in God's will. You know, we can ask for the wrong thing. And sometimes, unfortunately, he might let us and give us the wrong thing to teach us a lesson. We might think it's for our comfort and that would be a blessing, but it turns out it's just the opposite when he lets us have that thing. So we need to trust God on answering prayers and be conscious of asking for the right thing when we ask. Then James clearly tells us that our alignment and involvement in the world shows our unfaithfulness to the one to whom we are to be committed. There in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, or at war with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot really have a foot in each camp, either on God's camp or the world's camp, and they're at war with each other, and it becomes more obvious every day as we see the war being waged on Christians and churches throughout the world. God clearly spells out that a Christian is to live separated from the world. Not necessarily quarantined like we might be, but it's just a good picture of the separation. Biblical separation from the world is being as close to the Lord as you can and staying as far away from the world as possible. Wow. You want to get close to something? Get close to God, especially during this time. We're commanded that in 1 John 2:15-16. It's not in your book, but 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lust and pride and all those things that come with it, that's not from God. That's from the world. And we tend to succumb to that. Our flesh wants to succumb to that. We can be strong. Your goal should be to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In fact, that tells us that in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Command directly from God. We are also to seek things above and set our affections on things above. In your book, Colossians 3:1-2. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Wow. What should we have affection for? What should we be attached to? The things above. All this is going to go away. And to have that in our mind at all times. Ye are setting your affection on the things above when you are faithful in prayer, in reading the word, and to your local church, as we've discussed in previous chapters. We do, however, have an enemy and an adversary who will continually attempt to draw us away into the world. This enemy is Satan. He has a name. We are warned of him, and we are to stand against him, and we're to bear God's armor against him. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat us up and can successfully in unfortunate cases. Then Ephesians 6:10-13 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wow. We've got the whole armor of God right here, and in our prayer, and in our church praying for each other. We need to use that. Avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit and the power. Remember who the battle is really with. And remember whose side to be on. Which side do we want to be on in that battle? Guarantee it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware that there are doors in our lives through which Satan can make inroads to draw us into the world and worldly pleasures. We must keep those doors locked. The picture here, many of us go to great extremes to secure our homes. We lock them down at night, but we leave the doors of our hearts and minds wide open. Just as we might wipe down our belongings and disinfect them, and we might, before we go to bed tonight, we make sure all the doors are locked and the windows are shut. Even so, we must guard our heart and our life from Satan's tactics. Your mind is a valued trophy over which a fierce battle is being constantly waged. Wow. You know, we say we have our heart with God, but Satan wants to distract us and change our heart towards things of him. The Apostle Paul likens the mind to a citadel or a stronghold, a fort, if you will, where a strategic war is taking place. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our minds are referred to here as our imaginations, our knowledge, and our thoughts. God wants control of your mind because he wants you. You are what you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In other words, what we think about, we become. Someone has said, "Sow a thought and you reap a deed. Sow a deed and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." The whole process begins in the area of the thoughts of our mind. It can lead us down two different and separate paths. So how do we actively protect our lives to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? We must understand how Satan works and stand guard against his advances. So number one, we need to understand Satan's desire. Satan's desire. Luke 22:31 in your workbook there. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He wants to just spread us to the wind. That's his desire. God's word tells us directly. Satan wants your mind. He's after your mind. He wants to capture, control, and corrupt your mind. The devil knows he can disgrace. If he can disgrace the testimony of a sincere Christian, he can capture the control center, the mind. If he wants to get us, he goes after our mind. If he can get you to think wrong, he can subtly lead you to do wrong. It all starts with the thought. The enemy is aware that God destroyed an entire civilization because of evil imaginations. Recall, we just went through, and it's in your book there, Genesis 6, 5 through 7. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Wow. That's just what Satan wanted. When you think about it, I hadn't really thought about that too much. Satan thought he was getting his way. But it didn't. What he didn't expect was that God provide a way out. He provided Noah's family and the ark to really start fresh. So I think he took what Satan thought was a great victory. He destroyed his competition, if you will. And it ended up working against him. But we must ever be alert to our enemy's desire to devour us. And we must resist him. It's an active verb, resist. 1 Peter 5:8 in your book. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. People, Satan's desire is to destroy us. And we need to understand that. And the next thing to understand then is Roman numeral 2, his devices. What does he use to destroy us? 2 Corinthians 2:11 in your book says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Wow. We can know his devices, and we'll talk about those. We know them. That helps us to resist. You know, if you know where your enemy, you know, you want to keep your enemy in front of you. Amen? So he doesn't sneak up on you. Just not be ignorant of what he does. Satan has a well-laid strategy. It's two-pronged attack, and it's formidable, and it's powerful. We need to be strong against it. First, letter A, he blinds the minds of the unsaved. Wow. He blinds the minds of the unsaved. How often do we see that? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, that light is so bright that all, we think all should accept it and see it. But Satan has blinded their minds to the truth and the fact of it. Spiritually blinded minds do not see or understand spiritual truth. Also, John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. You know, what can seem so obvious to us believers, it's blindness to the others, and they're turned off. Just yesterday, as Kathy was looking online, there's an article, an opinion piece, of course, in the New York Times that has blamed the spread of the virus on evangelical Christians. Why? Because they do not believe in science. How totally unfair and untrue that is. That who is blinded? They say we're blinded to science. You know, I pray that that person would get a hold of Pastor Josh's Genesis series and the wonderful science, true science that he gave us to open eyes. If only they would do that. But they are so blinded, they blame us for something that's it's just so false. It just made us angry to think that they would just accuse us of not believing in science. It's hogwash, you know, it is what it is. So, if people are like that, send them to that series. Praise God, they're online, we have this great technology. Say, just listen to the, in fact, I recommended this whole series to a couple, or to a lady that's been blinded by many worldly things. Just take the time and listen to these, to the true science. And hopefully, prayerfully, it would change their mind. Whether it's someone who claims to be an agnostic or simply rejects the gospel, we need to share the gospel and pray for those who are spiritually blind. For it's only through the gospel itself that the darkness is destroyed. The gospel is light. It is light. We need to get through those eyelids and the closures to see the light. And then second device, he corrupts the minds of the saved. So we maybe understand blinding the unsaved, but he wants to corrupt the minds of the saved. 2 Corinthians 11:3 in your book. But I fear
lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Wow. You know, I've always ascribed to the keep it simple, stupid, the KISS method. And it is so simple. You know, the gospel is for everyone and simple. And so many things have tried to convolute that and make it complicated. And people just get turned off because it seems too... And it's just not. It's just simple. Jesus loved us so much, he died for us, that if we believe on him and confess with our mouth, he can be saved. Wow. That simple. And people need to hear that message and not be corrupted by all this other stuff. But don't think that salvation means automatic immunity from satanic attack on your mind. He's still after us. Saints across this world are filled with anxieties, fears, doubts, impure thoughts, cares, worries, false doctrines, and bitterness. Beware of Satan's devices. He is attempting to corrupt your mind if you are a child of God. Don't think you're safe and can be protected. Yes, we will inherit eternity, but we can sure bring about our own suffering here on earth until then if we let him corrupt our minds and just to for his corruption to creep in. He'll do it subtly and creepily, and we got to be on guard against that. So, Roman numeral 3, Satan's doors. What are the doors he uses to get into our mind? How is he able to corrupt our minds? Just a picture there of all these open doors. How is Satan able to corrupt our minds? The security is not tight enough. He comes through unguarded and unlocked doors. Sometimes we leave the door wide open and he can just waltz right through. Sometimes we might just have it open a crack, but he'll get it wide enough to come on through. We need to lock some of our doors that he's after. In your book, 1 Peter 1, 13 and 16, says, how is Satan? Oh, I'm sorry. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. We keep our hope, and we use that to the very end, and for the grace that he gives us, and the strength and the power he gives us, and it brings it until he actually comes and reveals himself in the final time. Goes on in verse 14, there in your book, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in the manner of all conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Just brings to mind that wonderful song we started with, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we're to be like him and pursue that holiness with him. We can only do it through his strength. Our flesh certainly isn't inclined to do that. You know, we have all these worldly pleasures bombarding us and the messages we get. But if we pursue God and his holiness, we can get through it. Even the Great Wall of China failed to keep out its enemy because one bribed gatekeeper let the enemy in. Just only takes one open door. You know, you might have 10 doors, you can lock 9 of them. But if you leave one open, look out. He can come in. We have to be on guard. Here are 4 doors through which Satan can corrupt a mind. Letter A is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed and harbored sin in anyone's life is the devil's open door. Ephesians 4, 26 and 7. Verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, we use that verse a lot in marriages and relationships and we get that. We've heard that a lot. But the very next verse, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him a spot. The spot's reserved. Sorry, Satan, that seat's taken. Don't give him a place. Don't allow a day to end with unconfessed sin in your life. If you do so, you give Satan an open door. That sin lies there, and like a cancer, it begins to grow and to spread. It affects your attitude with anger, bitterness, wrath, malice. It influences you to wrong actions and a wrong lifestyle. Fear, lust, any of those things can just be a door that lets him into all that to influence us to wrong action and wrong lifestyle. The answer is repentance. Repentance, which is a change of mind regarding your sin. Virtually a 180 turn. You repent and turn. Change your mind. Five of the seven churches in Revelation, in 2 and 3, and the letters to the churches, five of seven were told to repent. Even the churches need repent. The church needs revival, and our person needs revival. Sin must be uprooted and removed. And I had the thought, wouldn't it be nice if we just get the disinfectant, rub it on our forehead, and disinfect our mind? Oh, God, it would just be that simple. So how can we uproot and remove, disinfect our minds? In your book, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. The Holy Spirit's disinfectant. Praise God. Hey, just a whole new perspective on some of these Bible verses this week. Confession provides cleansing and brings revival. Why is it that we tolerate and allow sin? Any and every time the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, come to Christ with a soft heart and confess it immediately. You know, we can't be perfect, unfortunately. We can try, and we should try. But when we do fail, we fall, just confess it. Say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up again. Please cleanse me of this sin. And boom, it's forgotten. And he gives us the tools and the power to work on it and continue to work on it and to not come back. If there's a sin you are currently harboring, turn from it in confession and repentance. God promises to forgive and cleanse you. From an honest heart, we ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and he'll do that. Second, letter B is undisciplined thoughts. Undisciplined thoughts. Now, it's one thing we don't see is what's going on in our minds or in your mind. In the lives of many Christians, this door is left wide open. We need to actively guard our minds and keep them from wandering. Wandering. You know, minds tend to wander. And heaven help us to not wander into places we shouldn't go. Proverbs 4:23 in your book. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep that lock on your heart. Lock it up for Jesus. Keep your mind. Guard it. Control it. If you become passive in your thought life and don't guard every thought, a wrong thought will be planted in your mind. Having wrong friends, unwise counsel, or worldly amusement can lead to being passive on this front. You know, we let things in. I think are okay and wouldn't hurt. But as we let them in, we become passive in our guarding of that door. Christians do not exercise much control over what they feed their minds. Television, videos, video games, the internet, certain music, and even commercials, I'd say especially commercials, can bring wrong thoughts into our minds. You know, the happiest thing we had in our home was the skip button, you know. Skip those commercials. Don't even wait to see if it's bad or not. Just skip it. Get rid of it. And certainly, because they'll put them in good shows. And certainly shouldn't be watching bad shows and skip the commercials on the good ones. Anyway, a little extra preaching there for you. So the answer is resistance. We had repentance, now we have resistance. And then I'm going to skip the John passage in your book. It wasn't in the teacher's manual. But go to James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a promise. But it takes us to resist. That's not leaving the door open. It's resisting. It's closing that door. Lock it. You know, just say no. Remember back in the 70s, I was growing up kind of in the new drug culture, and that was the commercial for the anti-drug thing. Just say no. You know, now what are we here in the last decade? Just do it. That became a war cry of some of the commercials. But we should say no to sin, whether it be through TV, music, movies, magazines, books, or the computer. You must choose to resist. Resist. Be active. Resist the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan has no right or authority over your mind or body. They belong to Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's his. You know, I remember a message that just, you start doing that, just the Holy Spirit's in us. Jesus is watching what I'm watching. He's reading what I'm reading. That'll sober you up pretty quick when you think of, you know, I'm giving a window right to Jesus for what I'm doing and looking at or even thinking. He knows our thoughts. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 there in your book. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. In our minds, in our, you know, our physical body, they're God's. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Resist the devil. Don't let him in. The third door is uncontrolled appetites. Uncontrolled appetites. Today is the day of the free use of drugs. Downers, uppers, alcohol, marijuana, pornography, and even food. In many lives, there is a tragic abuse of one or more of these areas, leaving the wide open to the door of destruction for both the mind and the body. Things have become socially acceptable that weren't not even that long ago. And even if they were socially acceptable long ago, that doesn't mean they're beneficial to us. You know, and we just need to guard against that. The AMA chairman, Dr. Malvern Block, said, ours is a drug-oriented society. Wow. To have our society referred to as drug-oriented. Some things that we become so used to, we don't think of them maybe even as a drug. But they are. They're habit-forming. They cause changes in our metabolism or biological. And it's a drug that does that. We need to think of it as that. There's scientific fact that those things are drugs. The answer to that is renewal. And repentance, resistance, and now renewal. If your mind has been damaged by uncontrolled appetites, whether it be through pornography, drugs, or other sin, it must be renewed and rebuilt by God's power. We can renew our mind. Ephesians 4:23 in your book, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Wow, we can renew our mind with the Spirit and His help. And Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renew our minds. You want to be in God's will? Renew your mind in God. Think on His things. This process of renewal, unfortunately, isn't automatic at salvation, and it's not instantaneous. It takes time. It takes prayer, patience, spiritual training, and God's Word. We need all the above to develop and process that renewal. It should be an ongoing process. We should be renewed right up until the time we look upon His glorious face. Keep working at renewal. Again, unfortunately, it's not automatic, but we are given power. We're given the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do that, to resist Him and to renew. Finally, our D is uncommitted cares. Uncommitted cares. But who do we give our cares to, or do we hang on to them? Our society is complex and filled with stress and pressure from every side. Certainly more today than it was last week, even. Work, family, finances. It's easy to become despondent, discouraged, and defeated when we allow ourselves to dwell on the negative situations or problems. I've known many, way too many, people that focus on the negative and the bad and their problems and the discouragement. And there's a lot out there, granted. But to focus on it is not what we're called to do. If you look long enough, you will find plenty about which to get depressed. Amen? It's easy to find things that are depressing. Just know you don't have to go very far, probably not even past the mirror to get depressing, you know. And we can find that if that's what we're looking for. Millions live in a world of depression. But God says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we are to cast all of our care upon him. There in your book, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Wow. We know that he cares for us. He loves us. He wants to take our concerns and our cares and cast them, just like throwing that line out there. Here, God, you take them. You take our cares. I don't want them. I'm going to focus on the glory of Jesus and his love for me and what he does for us. He does not intend for us to carry these burdens and dwell under the weight of life's pressure. The answer here is remembrance. Remember, bring to mind, as in Philippians 4:8, there in your book. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's quite a list when you think of it. There's a lot there we can think about that are uplifting and encouraging. We can think on those things. Don't think of the depressing stuff. Yeah, we got to get through it. We got to deal with it. But we do that with keeping our eyes on Jesus and thinking of the good things. God designed the mind to be able to think on only one thing at a time. I found that, you know, I try that. Sometimes I'll, you know, reading God's word or prayer, but all of a sudden you start thinking of something else. You can't do both. You can only think on one thing. That's how God designed it. So let's pick the good things that we're thinking about. If you keep your mind on the right things, you won't have problems thinking about the wrong things. Sounds pretty simple. We know it's not, but it makes sense. Fill our minds with good things. Think on those. Start each day with reading the Bible and choose to think on what you read through the day. Remember those things that we read in the morning or the day before, or heard from church or heard on the thing. And that's what, bring to mind those things. Keep that in your thought. Isaiah 26:3 in your book. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Wow. Keep your mind stayed on God and trust in him. These four doors are Satan's doors of opportunity to draw you into worldly and wicked activities, which will defeat you and ruin your testimony for the Lord. Shut them tightly. Not only shut them, lock them. Get it locked out. You know, I know in my life, there's things I've been successful at locking out. Sometimes, you know, I close the door, but, you know, let somebody kick it open or something. Sometimes I leave too big a crack, and it's too easy to just swing open. Maybe the wind, and it's scary. We need to close them. Again, Ephesians 4:27 in your book. Neither give place to the devil. There's no seat here for you, devil. Be behind me. Get out of my sight. Be gone. Don't give Satan any ground or territory in your mind or your life. Determine to stand fast in the Lord. Keep your doors locked and guard the entrances to your mind. Guard them tightly. Your faithful and consistent walk with the Lord will strengthen and encourage others. However, when you backslide and get into the world, your life will have the opposite effect on others, especially your family and friends. You know, it's one thing you say, oh, it's only hurting myself, but that unfortunately is not true. You know, we take some with us, even if we don't want to or don't think so. Rather, encouragement, and it usually seems to go faster that way. might take a while to encourage somebody because they're watching for examples and for faithfulness and can you do it? Don't give them any grounds to backslide with you is the key. Here's an illustration. Here are these mountain climbers, and you've probably heard similar stories. Five mountain climbers were experienced and equipped for their climb to the top of Mount Blanc and the French European Alps. The first day's climb took these five men over the jagged and rocky terrain on the lower part of the mountain. On the second day, they were already working their way up the slick and sheer wall of the glacier. The five men were spaced apart by about 50 feet, more than our 6 feet today, amen? But social distancing, but they're roped together. A safety rope connected all five men so that in the event one would lose his footing, the others could keep him from falling. In an unsuspecting moment, though, the lead climber carelessly miscalculated his footing and began to slide down the face of the glacier. The other four climbers were unprepared. And as the lead man went cascading by, each of the remaining men were jerked from their position and all five went sliding down, landing on the jagged rocks. Wow. Even though we think we're careful, we're tied together, and we can take others with us, just like these poor mountain climbers. They're unprepared. We have to be prepared. The story of spiritual tragedy and destruction is repeated over and over again, each day as careless Christians who are climbing up the mountain to victory in their Christian lives take their eyes off the Lord, lose their footing, and begin to backslide. And we never fall alone. Sad but true. We just never fall alone. We always end up carrying others, sometimes including our own families, along with us, dragging them to destruction as well. So, we should do as Ephesians 5:15 tells us, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. Walk with care. Walk, take care of your life in our walk with God, that we are being cautious and our doors are locked and we're protecting our hearts and our minds so that we don't take anybody with us because we don't fall. We stay with Jesus Christ. Will you embrace this commitment of godly Christian living? Will you choose purity and separation in a world that is filled with sin and vice? This will be one of your biggest battles. Satan is relentless, but God's grace is greater. That's the good news. His grace is greater. And I had this thought. There we have the purity, the purell. We have the quarantine, the separation. We need to put God in the middle of all of that. Bring the godly into that pursuit of purity in our life of separation from the world. Reach out to others, yes, but have God in the equation. I was thinking too, being the math guy, I just loved the cross being the shape of a plus sign. You know, it's just like, hey, we're adding God to everything we do. Every time you see a plus sign from now on, I want you to think of Jesus Christ and, you know, what he adds to our life and to our ability to cope and to be with one another. 1 John 4:4, we'll close with this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word this morning and just this call to holiness, really, God, that we can resist the devil. We can remember what you've done for us and we can renew our minds. Lord, it's possible. Your word tells us it is. So God, I pray for each and every one of us to be filled with your spirit. Give us the tools and the commitment to just be strong in you, to be in your word, to be in prayer, to be in fellowship with other Christians, to think on the good things, the lovely things, all the wonderful things that your word alone gives us. Oh, Lord, I just pray for protection, especially in these very perilous times and circumstances that the world throws at us, that we can stand strong, we can cast our cares upon you, be excited about what you're doing in the church's life and in Christians' lives and the peace and comfort that only you can bring. Lord, there's so many wonderful things that only you can bring us. I pray this morning that each of us would concentrate and focus on those things. Help us to lock the doors that would let sin and grief enter into us. So God, I just want to lift up Brother Pastor Jamie to you this afternoon, or the rest of the service. Lord, that you would just bless him and his words. It would further, I know, just strengthen these ideas of serving you. Even in the condition that our world is in today, we can have success if we just can dedicate our lives to holiness. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have done and what you are doing and what you are going to do. Bless each one this morning that came and tuned in. We thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. Grab the cup of coffee, extra coffee. Get ready for Pastor Jamie. I know I'm excited to hear from him and what he has for you as well. We'll be back next week with the final lesson and then this Steps of a Good Person. Be sure to tune back in. And again, we'll work out getting you the workbooks for the next lesson to follow here. You'll be hearing about that probably sometime this week. God bless you.